Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title at Woolly Mammoth.
Sure. Hi, I'm Maria Manuela Goyanes. I'm the artistic director of Woolly Mammoth Theater Company in Washington, D.C.
Yes, and I wanted to check in with you all at Woolly Mammoth because, you know, a strange loop just dominated on Broadway, and it actually started down here in D.C. at Woolly Mammoth. I guess not started. I think maybe you were like the second place it played or something, but definitely before it went to Broadway. So I want to preview the upcoming slate for the fall and everything, just everything you got going on. But let's start with a strange loop. Remind our listeners when exactly you staged it, how you found out about it.
Oh boy, yeah, this is a good story. So I had actually known Michael R. Jackson, the writer, since he was 24 years old and I was 25 years old.
Wow, where'd you meet?
This is a long time ago. I'm definitely not that age anymore, and neither is he. He was a graduate of the NYU Musical Theater Writing Program, and I was introduced to him by a professor there, a friend of mine, Donna DiNovelli, and he needed a director to work on a couple of his projects. And it was around that time that he started to come up with the idea for this musical. And he showed me a monologue that he had turned into a song called Why I Can't Get Work. And he started putting together this, what would become the first drafts of A Strange Loop. So I've known about this piece for a very, very, very long time. And it didn't actually get a production until right before the pandemic at Playwrights Horizons. That was its first production. Adam Greenfield is the artistic director there. They're brilliant. And
where is that? It's what town is that in?
It's in New York City. Yeah, it's in New York City. Yeah, off Broadway. Yeah, that was. But you know what's crazy about it, Jason? That was his first professional production of a show ever. Michael R. Jackson's first professional production of a show ever.
Right out of the gate.
A Strange Loop, right out of the gate. And it made all these top 10 lists. But because it was the first production, you know, you learn so much when you're doing something like that, right? And they didn't get to finish all of the things that they wanted to finish. You know, they ran out of rehearsal time, all of that kind of stuff, because, you know, it's the first time putting together a big musical. And so the pandemic happened, and I called Barbara Whitman, who's a commercial producer, and I said, listen, if there's anybody, if another theater company that's a bigger theater company than Woolly Mammoth wants to do this show, I am all for it. Like, you all should have the resources and hopefully then bring it commercially. I love this show. I've loved it since I worked on it, you know, when I was a kid. And if no one takes you up on that, come back and talk to me, please. And so what ended up happening was, you know, it's a risky piece. And I think that between the pandemic and also the themes that it's got about, difficulties like, you know, in the gay community, him trying to get, find love, those kinds of things. Those are all provocative themes still to this day for most of our audiences. And so I called Barbara Whitman and I said, well, has anyone said yes? And she's like, you're the only one. And I'm like, great. Well, then let's do it. Let's make it happen. So Woolly did the second production of it in November, December of this past year. Oh my gosh. 2021.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. 2021. It's like, it feels like it was 20 years ago, but it wasn't. It was not that long ago. And in that production, we did a nationwide casting search and found the then 22-year-old Jaquel Spivey, who had just graduated, literally was graduating from Point Park University in Pittsburgh. He came and did the audition, blew us all away. He's not even as old as the character he plays. And the review in the Washington Post, I mean, if you go back and look at what Peter Mark said, he literally says something to the effect of like, enter Jaquel Spivey, remember that name. I mean, can you imagine? This is this kid's first, his professional debut is in A Strange Loop at Woolly Mammoth, the first professional production he's ever done. And then he goes to Broadway and gets a Tony nomination. It's just like, what?
Yeah, well, that was pretty prophetic because everyone remembers that name now. Well, real quick, tell me, you said about how it's like such a revolutionary, I don't want to say controversial, but you know, like a groundbreaking theme. even the one phrase that always pops up in my mind when I think of the show is that when he does that about how he said, you know, he's had enough of toxic Tyler Perry and white gay male tyranny and my secret inner white girl, though she's dear to me. Break it down, even just that little stanza. Break that down about, you know, how, you know, a person of color, LGBT, is not always represented. You think of Broadway as, you know, but they're even within the progressive Broadway, it was still sort of white gay male dominated.
Oh, for sure. There's no question about it. So just to break that down, let's start with the inner white girl. The fact of the matter is this character of Usher is in love with Liz Phair, in love with Joni Mitchell, in love with Tori Amos, loves those songs, feels a kinship to those songs, and sings this song called He's Got an Inner White Girl Inside of Him. But ultimately, you know, he tries to pretend to be that, but, you know, he gives himself away because he's in a black queer male body. <It's> like, so it's only in his fantasy, you know, and he feels such a kinship to those songs and they resonate with him, which puts him on the outskirts of the black gay community. There's a moment where he actually calls Beyonce a terrorist, a culture terrorist in the show, which then makes all of the men, the black gay community, say, you are not somebody who I want to date. You are not somebody who I want to hang out with. You are not somebody who I want to get to know. And it's just because he is just a very specific idiosyncratic character who has very clear opinions about what he likes and what he doesn't like. And it's hard for him to actually find love because he isn't the person who loves Tyler Perry. He is, and he tends to be attracted to the white gay guys who pay him no mind. There's a moment in the show where he's on the subway. Oh, it's so heartbreaking. And he meets this guy and the guy is like, oh, I think you're totally sexy and hot. And it turns out it's in his imagination. Because that guy would never be attracted to him in real life. And he's just playing these things out as a young guy trying to find himself. When I was 22, 23, 24, I don't want to relive my dating life. I don't know about you.
No, definitely not. I'm glad I'm married and found my way. You know what I mean?
It's really, well, but this is the thing about Strange Loop, is that even in its specificity, there is real universalism to what this young guy is going through. And yeah, I'm not a black queer male, you know, character, but man, do I understand the rejection of youth? Man, yeah. Do I understand wanting and wishing to find somebody to love me in the fullness of who I am, liking the things that I like, you know, and not trying to be somebody who I'm not.
Oh, everyone, and that's where you get the universal themes out of a character, the specificity of a character. Mm-hmm. That's what's great. And you mentioned that, you know, part of that quote inner white girl that he's talking about was Liz Phair, you know, and Joni Mitchell, etc. But it wasn't Liz, it was a Liz Phair song, right? A Strange Loop. That was a title, right?
Yes. Oh yeah, for sure. So A Strange Loop, the title of the show is absolutely a reference to a Liz Phair song, as well as the loop that is happening inside the musical. But also, Exile in Gayville is a direct conversation with Exile in Guyville, which is also a Liz Phair album. So I when he first started working on the show, actually all the songs were counterpoints to Liz Phair. And in the show, he actually talks about how in the beginning he used to use all these Liz Phair songs, but he couldn't get the rights. So he had to pull the Liz Phair songs from the show, and the show still stayed intact, which is great.
Nice. And also, just in case, I want to make sure we dot all the I's and cross the T's, like, just in case our listeners aren't aware of the show, explain how it's also sort of self-reflexive about this Usher, you know what I mean? Like a theater show, writing a show about a show kind of a thing.
Yeah, for sure. So A Strange Loop is a show about a black gay musical theater writer writing a show about a black gay musical theater writer writing a show. So that's The Strange Loop. So he is a young he is an usher on at the Lion King on Broadway, and he is trying to write a musical about being a musical theater writer and trying to get his parents and the world to actually accept him for who he is. And what he finds out towards the end, I don't think I'm giving too much away, is that, you know, the person who has the biggest problem with the pronoun I is him. Right. And how he gets to a place of trying to figure out acceptance of himself. And it's not neat and tied up with a bow. It's hard and difficult and a lifelong journey. But this is where it also feels universal in that way of trying to get to a place of self-acceptance is the path to finding that love and that acceptance that you want in the world, too.
Wow, what a character arc and how it fits in. Like that was powerful what you just said, that the pronoun is I that he's grappling with. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you mentioned that when it played last December at Woolly Mammoth, and you know the rave reviews of the Washington Post, Peter Marks, remember that name. Talk about then once you saw it go to Broadway, you know, really take Broadway by storm. And what was your reaction when you saw that? And of course, Tony Night, watching it actually win.
I couldn't believe it, to be honest with you, because it's what, 17, 18 years in the making, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a part of me that goes, well, it's about time. Like the world needed to catch up to this musical.
Right.
And when I mean the world needed to catch up to this musical, I mean the world needed to be open enough to hearing the story of someone who doesn't look like the all of the people who are normally on a Broadway stage, just to be clear. You know, I don't know how many, I couldn't say off the top of my head, but I can't tell you how many Broadway musicals have somebody at the center of the musical that looks like this character at all. And so there is a openness that sort of had to happen that I think partly, you know, the pandemic has something to do with it and our cultural opinions moving and changing to be, you know, more open to hearing stories that might not have been heard before, right? And so for me, there's a part of me that was like, well, this is a long time coming, about time that Michael R. Jackson gets the recognition that he so deserves. And also couldn't believe it, because Lord knows it's a long time coming. I mean, that Best Book of a Musical Tony, like hard won, man, hard won, 18 years of real work in that. And then finally, when the Best Musical was announced, we're all running up on the stage, you know, you can see me in the background double fist pumping in the back because I'm just sort of like, what is happening here? And what's thrilling is that the show is actually breaking box office records on Broadway in that house at the Lyceum. And I, you know, there was a part of me that was nervous that thought, well, you know, this is such a, it does feel provocative still to do a show like this, in such a commercial house, in such a mainstream venue. And the fact that people are going to see it and are finding their way into it and feeling that the universal within it for themselves is just like, it's breathtaking. I'm speechless. It's so difficult to actually wrap my mind around, you know?
Oh, yeah. And another great point that not only a critical success, but a popular box office success, too, you know, like Hamilton, et cetera, et cetera. It's really and I actually think Broadway has sort of even led the way with sort of that, you know, that dichotomy, you know, at least much more than the movie industry. Movies used to be, you know, Best Picture and the top grosser of the year was the same, you know, back in the day. But it's really splintered on streaming platforms and stuff so that it's kind of, you know, the box office is sort of like the big superhero movie, but then something completely else wins the Oscar. But I just think it's kind of cool that in the case of A Strange Loop and other Broadway shows lately, they're one and the same, you know, more eyeballs are seeing the best artistic work. I think it's so cool. So that movie tangent aside, back to you mentioned that you were on stage. So it gets the most nominations with 11 this year. It wins for Book of a Musical and, you know, the big top prize of Best Musical. I think it also won the Pulitzer for drama too. But yes. So you actually, just to clarify, you got to go up on stage when they
accepted. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Woolly Mammoth was one of the co-producers of the show. It's the production is the Woolly Mammoth P73 Playwrights Horizons production of. So those were the three nonprofit theaters who came together, P73 and Playwrights Horizons in New York in 2019, as I said, and then Woolly Mammoth recently in 2021, who came together to help, you know, develop this show and get it to a place where it could get to Broadway and be the best version of itself that it could be, the most impactful version of itself that it could be. So yeah, I got to go up on stage. The Tony statue is on its way to Woolly Mammoth. We're gonna do an unboxing video, I hope, and be able to actually have our folks come and take a selfie with it, because it's a big deal for a theater company. We're not a big theater company, and we have a high risk profile, right? Which means that our work tends to be more edgy, more risky, more provocative than, again, most mainstream venues. And so the fact that we have been able to have this success in this way is just like, again, what are the words that I can use to explain my, total and utter shock and happiness, giddiness around it.
That's so cool that you got to go up on stage. And I remember on Tony night, I remember, you know, during the acceptance speech, hearing the Woolly Mammoth shout out to DC, but I don't, you know, the fact that you were actually on stage is so cool, and that you're going to unbox the actual Tony Award back here in DC. That's so cool. When's that going to happen?
Yeah. Well, hopefully soon. You should come down. You should take a selfie with it and blast it on social media and be like, yay, Tony winning DC.
It's here. The statue isn't the award isn't, the trophy is in town. Yeah, I remember that was always, that's a cool thing when you can go into, I don't know, Arena Stage and see the Dear Evan Hansen Tony sitting there or whatever. And now we'll get to come to Woolly Mammoth and see the Estranged Loop Tony trophy.
I want to give a shout out actually to DC Theater, because it's one of those, it's one of the reasons why I wanted to come and run a company like Woolly Mammoth in Washington, D.C. We have such a vibrant, dynamic theater ecology, and it is working. These theaters, Arena Stage, Signature, Studio, Mosaic, Roundhouse, you know, Woolly, we're working at the top of our game here, and you can see that. You can see that happening. And folks, you all need to come to D.C. to see these shows at reasonable prices, frankly, before they get to their commercial successes in New York and elsewhere.
Yeah,
it's a major theater town.
Come see it, you know, here on the cutting edge vanguard before everyone else finds out about it. I mean, sure. I always remind people West Side Story began here at National Theater before it even made it up to Broadway. All the big hits. Come on, you got to see them in DC first. Amen. Well, awesome. Well, I actually, just so you know, I have another interview in 10 minutes, but I want to tee up, you know, now that the fever has broken, the honeymoon period of the big Tony win has settled down a little bit. Let's look ahead and remind people what Woolly Mammoth has coming up in the upcoming season. I guess the next one will be Ain't No Mo in September.
Yeah, Ain't No Mo by Wunderkind Jordan Cooper, who is just like a brilliant, brilliant artist. He wrote this piece when he was like 22, I want to say, at the New School. And I actually had the privilege of working on it when it was at the Public Theater and had its premiere in New York City. And I've been wanting to do it, bring it to DC audiences for a long time. And over the course of the pandemic, Jordan and Lee Daniels, who is actually connected to the show now too, said, yes, you can take it to Washington, DC, and actually to Baltimore. We're going to do it in a co-production with Baltimore Center Stage. They have just announced a Broadway run. It is a different run. It is a different production from the production that you'll get to see in Washington and Baltimore, but you will get to see the show before it actually goes on to a commercial success, because it's the same script.
Oh so my this gosh, is one are we going to have moments. Another Strange Loop on our hands next year?
I mean, I'm telling you, Ain't No Mo is a brilliant show, and I cannot wait for people to see it. And some of the DC acting favorites are going to be in it. John Hudson Odom is coming back to Woolly Mammoth to play Peaches, who is the flight attendant for African American Airlines Flight 1619 that is on its way to Africa to bring all Black Americans back to the mother country. That is part of the premise of this insane show that sort of does a send up of lots of different things, including reality TV and the Housewives of the Real Housewives franchise, among other things. So you've got to come and check it out and be escorted by our drag queen flight attendant Peaches. Then in the after that, we've got Is This a Room, which is a show that is that actually takes verbatim the transcript, the FBI transcript of when Reality Winner, who was the NSA agent who is taken into custody because they leaked information around Russia's interference in the elections to the media. They literally, this theater company called Half Straddle with their brilliant Tina Satter actually created a theater piece called Is This a Room that shows us documentary style exactly what happens. And what you get is like, whoa, this is so odd. It's like government overreach, also this young woman's ethics compared to her country's values and what she did wrong and what didn't she do wrong. And that's going to be our show right after Ain't No Mo. So you got, it's going to be an amazing start of our season in the fall. And I hope everyone will come to Woolly Mammoth and check it out.
Oh yeah. And that, I mean, they both sound great. I mean, I know. And then we invite everyone also to see, you know, coming up, Seven Methods of Killing Kylie Jenner, The Jungle, The Nosebleed, Incendiary. We can follow up and do individual interviews for all of these, including Ain't No Mo. Let's follow up as we get
really on. Jason, yeah. I would love that. I can't wait to tell you about it. I can't wait to talk to you, all your listeners, about it, because these are amazing, amazing pieces that I think people are really going to want to come and check out. At Woolly.
Yeah, let's reach back out and we'll do a story for all of them individually.
I love it. I love it. Awesome. Right. Well, thank
Sounds
you.
Sounds good.
This has been great. Jason, you're awesome. I'm so glad to hear you evangelize about the theater as you do. We are on the vanguard, more so than movies. So get people out to the theater, please.
Exactly. Exactly. Everyone, this is Woolly Mammoth Theater. Check it out. And, you know, when you get a chance, you know, up until then, head up to New York and get a chance to see A Strange Loop and get a taste of the great work that happens down here all the time. Hey, thanks for doing this.
Take care, Jason.